On this Reign of Christ Sunday, also called the Feast of Christ the King, we conclude the lectionary cycle with a story from St. John's Gospel. It's from his account of the trial of Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Pilate, as we know, is the Roman governor. He's the most powerful man in the land. Pilate is the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Jesus is the accused. Everyone, including Pilate, knows that Jesus is innocent. In the interrogation of Jesus, an odd thing happens. As Jesus is questioned by Pilate, he responds to Pilate's questions with questions of his own. Pilate becomes the one who's on trial. Pontius Pilate knows that there is no evidence against Jesus, but he condemns him anyway. He refuses to listen to the truth and to act in accordance with the truth. Jesus is an innocent man condemned, while Pilate is the guilty party. We read this passage today because it is about the identity of Jesus as a king. We have a clash of powerful men, each a king in his own way. But of course, there are some important differences between these two. And of these two men, we can ask, what kind of king and what kind of kingdom? Pilate is a king of sorts of the area. He's the Roman general appointed to be governor. The source of his power is Rome and the power of the Roman Empire. The way he uses his power is through the threat of violence. That's how he keeps order. During the Passover, as John describes it, many people have come to Jerusalem for a festival. There are thousands of people. There are thousands of extra soldiers. It's a time of great tension. There could be a riot at any moment, and the soldiers are there to enforce order through the threat of violence. For Pilate, his criteria for decision-making is purely pragmatic and political. He will do whatever it takes to ensure that good order is maintained. If he were to have followers, they would only be compelled by force. Jesus is a very different kind of king. The source of Jesus' power is God. Jesus uses his power not to compel or force. Jesus uses his power for healing and for teaching, to bring the fullness of life to the people who come into contact, who he comes into contact with. Jesus' only criterion is the truth in love. The followers of Jesus are those who listen to his voice. Well, what kind of kingdoms do these kings lead? The kingdom of the Roman Empire occupied a place in time and geography. If you were to look at a map of the Roman Empire, it surrounds the Mediterranean basin, and it will eventually spread as far north as Britain. Jesus' empire or kingdom, he says, is not from this world. It's not a place that you will find on a map. Rome is an empire that seeks to expand and dominate. the reign of God is a reality which seeks to bring people into community with God and with one another, much like this place, a community of people gathered together. The Roman Empire uses the power of domination and control. The reign of God uses the power of grace for transformation into life. The reign of God uses the Holy Spirit to prompt us, to lead us. The social order of the Roman Empire is called the Pax Romana. It's an authoritarian military order kept in place by a strong army. It's hierarchical. The people at the top are very rich. The rest of the folks are very poor. Most of the people who lived within the Roman Empire had a subsistence existence. They were one step above starvation. The social order that Jesus calls for is one of peace and justice, one of equality of all people, where all are fed, where all live in peace with one another. Who benefits from the Roman Empire? Well, the rich and the powerful, the ones who are at the top. In the reign of God, friends benefit. Friends are invited into community. Who gets in? In the Roman Empire, it's a restricted club of those who are at the top. In the reign of God, it's open to all. The criteria for membership in the Roman Empire is you have no choice. You're either born into a wealthy family or you are born into a poor family. In the reign of God, anyone who can see or hear the truth becomes a member. So we see two very different kinds of kingdoms, two very different kinds of kings. Thinking about how we live today, we don't live in the Roman Empire. We live, and we are very grateful for living in a peaceful and prosperous country of Canada. If you've ever done any travels to other parts of the world, you will always come home grateful that you live in Canada. But of course, we face many challenges in Canada. There are many political debates, many issues of injustice that need to be addressed. Canada is not a perfect place by any means. Indeed, the whole world faces many challenges, and many seem insurmountable. You just have to watch the news for a few minutes every day. We live in an age when we are inundated with information, a digital age where we have more access to information than at any time in human history. And yet, despite this access to information, we live in an increasingly anxious time when even notions like truth are under attack. Jesus says, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. That's reassuring. That's reassuring to me. The notion that Jesus aligns himself with the truth and that it is possible to tell a truth from a lie. The truth leads to Jesus, and Jesus leads to the truth. In our baptism, we become members of a new kind of kingdom. It's a kingdom of peace and justice, a kingdom of the truth. This kingdom is ruled not by a king, but by the risen Christ, who calls us to be servants of one another. We participate in Christ's reign knowing that it has not fully emerged, but we're confident that someday it will come. Someday it will come. In the meantime, we live as participants in Christ's reign, remembering our baptism, remembering who we are and to whom we belong. Amen.